My name's Matt, associate pastor of student ministries and co-teaching pastor with Brent, and excited to be bringing the word this morning. Hey, we're in a series called 10. It's called 10 for an obvious reason, because we're going through the Ten Commandments. And let me just catch you up if you're new or if you missed a week or two, give you kind of the rundown of where we've been so far, and just to kind of get it out there in the open, sometimes when we hear about the Ten Commandments, we think law, we think restriction, we think no fun, and we want to be totally clear up front that we're not talking about how you get into a relationship with God. Ten Commandments don't do that. All they do is show you that you desperately need one, and apart from Christ, you don't have one. So instead, what we want to start everything by saying is that we enter into a relationship by grace through faith in Jesus, and then these commandments end up becoming instructive for us in how life works best. So to kind of sum it all up, we said it this way to kick off the series. If you remember, Brent just kind of laid down, this is the bottom line for all 10 weeks, if you really think about it, that the true freedom is found in living the way God designed. True freedom is living the way that God designed, or to say it another way, because this is our typical view of freedom in our culture, freedom is not living as I want, but it's wanting what makes me free. And the only way we can want what makes me free is in a relationship with God through Jesus. And so just to get that out of the way, that's what we're talking about here this morning. Let me just kind of give you, we're getting a challenge by Brent to memorize the Ten Commandments. And so what we're going to do is look at Commandments 1 through 4, and I'm doing this from total memory, just like I'm asking you to do, so I might bobble this. Let's hope not. But we're going to say them, all four of them, in a row together. So first of all, commandment number 1, you shall have no other gods before me. Okay, commandment number 2, you shall not make for yourself an idol. They're right there, in case you need a hint. Commandment number 3, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And commandment number 4, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Good job, you guys. So let me kind of unpack the big ideas that Brent has already shared up to this point. And I forgot one of them last service, so I have my notes just in case. But remember, with commandment number 1, Brent said that the Lord God desires to be your greatest desire. God is jealous to be number 1 in your life. And then for commandment number 2 regarding idolatry, what has your heart has your worship. And so we are challenged to not give our hearts to other little g gods, but to give it to the one true God who has given us his son. And then commandment number 3, Brent shared that, and this was super challenging for me, but if you claim his name, you better walk your talk. We represent God wherever we go if we claim his name, and that's a huge responsibility. And then commandment number 4, remember to rest, and rest to remember, and praying that God is helping you remember now as we gather together, and hopefully this is a restful time in worship to him. And now we're on commandment number 5, to honor your father and mother. And if you remember, the commandments are broken into 2 halves. So commandments 1 through 4 have to deal with directly toward God, loving God. And now we're moving into the second half, which has to do with loving others. And so the first place that we start is with honoring father and mother, which is a great commandment to start with. And I'm well qualified to speak about this one, in part because I've broken it so many times. And I'm assuming if you laughed, it's because you have done the same. As a child, countless times, can't even imagine how many times I've broken this commandment. As a teenager, oh wow, I severely broke this commandment. And what's really sad to admit is that even as an adult, even in my adult relationship with my parents, I've broken this commandment to honor your father and mother. And it's because of that, in part, that I'm passionate to bring this to you this morning, because it's not just my life that's been affected by this. I mean, I look now at my adult life and I see some of the dysfunction, some of the brokenness, some of the remedial areas of growth that I need, because I didn't pay attention to this when I was younger. But see, it's not just my life that's messed up because I didn't pay attention to this commandment. It's our lives, our society. I mean, you can look at all the brokenness and hurt and pain in our society and trace it significantly back to this one issue that we have failed as a society to honor our parents and to treat them as they deserve and to treat them as God commands us. And this is no haphazard event. It's not like we just kind of stumbled into this like widespread brokenness because we didn't care for our parents or treat them as we ought. This is strategic. Satan knows this. God has an enemy, and he knows that if he can attack the family, if he can blow up the family from the inside, that he can blow up whole cultures, that he can oppose God, that he can limit the spread of the gospel. And he's relentless in carrying out this strategy, which is why, if God was going to give us 10 things, that one of them is honor your father and mother, because without that, families fall apart. Without that, therefore, societies fall apart. And it's not just one of 10. I mean, that's significant enough. If it makes the top 10, that's a big deal. But it's number one of all the commandments about loving others. I mean, you think about it. There's 1 through 4, and then you move into the second half about loving others. And number one is honor your father and mother. Above murder, above adultery, above stealing, above lying. Honor your father and mother. Pretty significant, right? Well, we're going to see why this is so significant, why it's close to God's heart, and why it should be close to ours, and how he can help us to live in the freedom of this commandment and carrying it out. So would you please join me in opening your Bible to Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. And if you're grabbing a Bible in the chair back in front of you, it's on page 61. I'm going to be looking at this first commandment is with a promise, as Paul refers to it. And before we do that, let's pray and ask God that he would quicken our hearts and our ears and speak to us. Father, Heavenly Father, I know that everybody who can with a sincere heart address you as such right now is so blessed, blessed beyond measure, because they know you as the perfect Father through Jesus Christ. And I'd ask that you would teach us, that you would instruct us. Lord, where necessary, you would convict us. Where we need it, would you encourage us? And most of all, would you lift up Jesus, your own son, as the perfect example? May we walk in his example by grace, by the power he provides through the Holy Spirit. May the Holy Spirit be teaching us now, first and foremost. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Preview of this morning. Going to look at the commandment first here in Exodus 20, and we're going to look at 4 P's to help unpack the commandment. So 4 P's, that'll help us get to understanding what this commandment's all about. And then a lot of this is simply applying it to different aspects of our lives. So we're going to look at 5 life stages after that that every one of you fit into at some point or another, and we'll see how we can apply this commandment to each and every one of us here this morning. So Exodus 20, verse 12, look at it with me. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. The first P that we see from this commandment is the primacy of this command, the primacy. It tops the list of the loving others commands. Why does it get that first placement? And right out of the gate, here's why. Because families are the building blocks of society. You want to positively affect a society? Start with the family. You want to destroy society? Start with the family. And here's what's so significant about family. The family for us is the place where we first learn about God. Our parents, more than anybody else, represent God to us. They are the direct authorities put into our lives from a very early age, and they reflect the authority of God to us. And as a result, especially in a believing home, your family is your first school. It's where you first learn things about life, about education. It's your first church. It's where you first learn about God and what he's like and what he's, what kind of a relationship is possible with him. And it's our first government where you first learn authority and submission and rules and what happens when you break them. Family is that first taste of all those things. It has a huge shaping effect on each and every one of us. And so you can already see some of the vast implications for this very command. For you to dishonor God or to dishonor your parents is to dishonor God. They represent God to you to throw off the authority that he's placed in your life is to say, God, no, thank you. I don't want any of my parents. And I don't want any of you. And more than that, what's really dangerous about not taking this command seriously, not putting it in the place that God puts it in his list, is that when you learn to dishonor your parents, you learn to dishonor every other authority in your life. Dishonor your parents, and do you really think that you're going to leave your home and respect your boss or honor the government or honor a teacher or a coach? No. You'll treat them the exact same way that you've learned to treat your parents, to dishonor authority. And the home is a place that God's provided for us to figure that out in a safe and loving environment. Which is why this commandment had such huge consequences. Do you know? Exodus 21, verses 15 and 17, Leviticus 20, verse 9, Proverbs 20, verse 20, all state that the consequence in the Old Testament law for cursing or for striking your parents is death. Whew. Like I should be dead. Many of you should be dead. We deserve death for this, and it makes perfect sense because if you're so brazen as to go to your parents, the primary people of authority that God has placed in your life, and you go to them and you dishonor them, you disrespect them, you curse them, you strike them, then who won't you do that to? And you're a cancer to society, and it would be better if you weren't there. And listen, I know that's harsh, but that's the reality. So much so that Paul even goes to the point, he lists all these sins, like horrendous sins, and he says, these are going to be signs of the end times. This is going to be when things are, you know it's close. And this is in 2 Timothy 3, verse 2. And one of the things on the list, disobedience to parents. It's that grievous. It's that bad. It's a primary, it's primary command. It is very important. And yet in our culture today, we take it so lightly. We treat it so flippantly. We disregard it. More than that, we encourage the breaking of it. Don't we? I mean, we live in a youth culture now that glorifies our young people and says, oh, you don't want to be under your parents. That's so lame. That's so not cool to submit to your mother and your father. Why don't you just do whatever you want? Shirk your responsibilities. Rebel. To our detriment, to our shame. This command is very important. It has primacy. Now let's look at the precept. That's your second P. The precept itself, the actual command, honor your father and mother. It's six words long. It's really simple. And in your notes, you'll see the Hebrew word for honor is kaved, which means heavy or weighty. Our parents are supposed to be heavy or weighty in our lives. I don't recommend after the service going up to them and telling them that. That might come across the wrong way. Hey, Dad, I just want you to know, you're heavy to me. Weighty. I don't think that'll translate the way that you intend it, but you can give it a shot. But here's what that means. You have to treat your parents with the recognition They deserve the respect. They deserve the esteem. They deserve the value. They deserve the honor. They deserve the love. They deserve. God calls us to that. I'm building a patio cover right now, and I have the footings all poured, and I just put some of the beams and posts and joists up yesterday, and I'm really proud about it. It looks great. I almost showed you guys a picture, but I felt like that was too self-serving, so I'm just going to brag about it verbally. We have this giant 4x8, 12-foot beam, and it is heavy. I've got a bruise on my shoulder from carrying it. And a beam like that, you got to be careful with. Because if you're not careful, you could tweak your back, or you could drop it on your foot, or you could swing it and knock somebody out, you know, put a window out, drop it and damage the beam, and then you need to get a new one. You can do a lot if you're not careful with that heavy an item. And I think parents are supposed to be treated with the same kind of care and thoughtfulness in our lives. They should matter. They should take a significant amount of our thought and our care and our emotion and our time. They matter. That's how we honor them. We esteem them. We love them. We respect them. And so the command's not a whole lot more complicated than that. That's the precept. What's going to help us understand how we work it out in our lives is to talk about now the people. Who is this addressed to? The people of the command. And at first thought, you read it and you think, well, of course, it's written to kids, right? I mean, honor your father and mother. This is for the little ones, everyone 18 and under. Perk up, all the rest of us, you know, we're off the hook. Really? Think about this. The nation of Israel gathered at Mount Sinai. God is verbally giving them the Ten Commandments. You think he really got to commandment number 5 and said, okay, kids, I've got one commandment just for you. All you adults can tune out, pick up again when we get to commandment number 6. No. All 10 commandments are for all God's people. Honor your father and mother, I believe, is primarily written to adults. And here's why I think that, for two reasons. The first is that parents have the responsibility for training their kids to honor their parents. Newsflash, and this isn't a newsflash to any of you who have kids, your kids don't naturally honor you. They're not wired to do that. It's not like they have an automatic default setting. All I do is honor my parents. Yeah, right. Your kids are planning treason against you. I mean, they got elaborate schemes for how to overthrow you. You know, sister's going to be in charge. Brother's going to control the finances. I mean, they are wired to rebel. Don't believe me? Romans 3:12 says, all have turned aside and become worthless. No one does good, not even one, not even your kids. And listen, I know this is controversial. I know that this is not something that certain people want to admit. But this is a biblical and sociological fact that if you don't come to terms with, you're going to have a really hard time ever seeing this commandment and the freedom that it can offer you and your family worked out in your lives. We got to diagnose the problem correctly. Our kids are sinners, and their default mode is to rebel. Their default mode is to dishonor. And unless we as parents care enough to do something about it, to nip it in the bud, to restrain that evil in their lives through loving care and discipline, instruction, our kids are in trouble. Mm-hmm. The second thing, a reason why I think this is primarily directed to adults, is because parents not only have the obligation to teach their kids to honor their parents, they have the responsibility to model it. You and I, as adults with aging parents, not old, aging parents, we can model honor and respect for them to our kids. to other people's kids. When they see us talking well about them, appreciating them, spending time with them, taking care of their needs, we're honoring our parents and doing it in a way that our kids can see and say, so that's what mom and dad have been trying to teach me to do. It looks like that. So again, I think the people that this command, yes, it applies to kids. It's absolutely about kids. Kids should take it very seriously, and it's something that we should make a big deal about for them. But primary responsibility for making sure this is happening, adults, us. So here's the last P of the command. It's the promise. The promise. The command goes, honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Paul calls this a promise later in Ephesians 6. And here's the deal. I understand that this is a special command to the covenant people of Israel. They were at Mount Sinai. They were on their way to the promised land. Didn't realize they were going to take a 40-year detour in the desert. But their goal was to enter the promised land that God was going to give them. And he says, when you go there, of all the commandments, the one that I'm going to attach a promise to that will ensure you live long in the land that I'm going to give you is honor your father and mother. There's probably a lot of commandments that he could have attached it to, but this is the one he chooses. And although we're not the nation of Israel, and though we don't live in the promised land, we live in a desert. It's going to get really hot soon, by the way. But I see two enduring principles for us as a society and for us personally. The one is that just like the nation of Israel, that they would prosper as they would honor this commandment. So we as a society, as a people, when we get this right, when we understand how to value and honor our parents and our grandparents and to treat them with the respect they deserve, it builds strong families and strong units, building blocks. Like I said earlier, the family is the building block of society. Strong blocks, strong society. And I believe that societies who get this and who learn to honor mother and father have strength, because strong families are a backbone to any society. But it's also personal. Believe that when you honor your parents, you set yourself up for success in this life. Parents, the home is the environment in which you were, which was designed for you by God, the institution in which you were to be shaped and molded into a healthy, productive member of society. Life just works a certain way. God set it up, and when you submit to that and when you walk in it, life works out better than if you throw it off and disregard it. Now, I'm not saying that if you keep this commandment, you'll live to be 90. I'm also not saying if you die young, it's because you failed to keep this commandment. But by and large, those who learn by God's grace to honor mother and father experience longevity of life, success in a way that is reflective of God's promise and this principle. So here's the bottom line this morning, if I can kind of sum it all up. It's that dishonoring parents disintegrates society. Honoring them holds it together. This little Jenga stack, let's just assume for a second that this is our society. And each of these blocks constitutes a family that is one of the pieces that help come together to build this healthy society. And when everybody is building a strong family through honoring mother and father, then we have this really stable stack. But then what happens is as families start to disregard this and take it for granted and dishonor parents, suddenly we start to get some pretty significant gaps. The structure now is starting to be called into question. And if left unaddressed, if this goes on for too long, if we don't repent and seek the Lord for our wicked ways. How long can I do this? eventually, society itself crumbles. Churches crumble. Communities crumble because we've not taken seriously the Word of God. So dishonoring parents disintegrates society. Honoring them holds it together. But what does that look like for you and me personally? In your stage of life where you're at, going to speak to every one of you at some point, please turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Just turn to the right a few chapters in your Bible. On page 151, if you're using a Bible from the chair back. And so the first group I'm going to talk to are to parents. How do we apply this to parents? And parents, you do have to remember, like I just said, that your kids will not naturally honor you. That is not their default setting. Their default setting is sin. Their default setting is rebellion. And they're really good at it. And our responsibility as parents, as God has given us children and given us the opportunity to raise them, is that we would be a restraining force of that evil in their lives until the time that we can introduce them to a Savior who can give them the strength from the inside to fight sin while we continue to help them through our loving parenting and shepherding. And I know this can get unpopular. I see a lot of us wanting to compromise in this area and assume that we're more loving and tolerant and pretending that our kids are doing better than they actually are. And I just want to share what the scriptures say about this issue of discipline and stepping in when our kids need it. The Proverbs say in 13:24, whoever spares the rod hates his son. Listen, what the sinful desire in your kid's heart is not something to be messed with. It's not something to be coddled. It's not something to be poo-pooed or treated as though it's not a big deal. That sin, if left undealt with, has eternal, damning consequences. And when we let it run free, it grows, it hurts them, and that's on us. That's not loving. To use the Bible's word is hateful. And would God challenge us and convict us where we need that? You see, a parent is a child's teacher and authority from an early age. And if your kids aren't brought under your authority, if they don't learn to submit to your authority, you're not going to be able to teach them. And that is so significant because of what we read in Deuteronomy 6. Here's what you've been given the privilege, the task, to teach your kids as the parent. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You teach them about God and who He is and what He's like. That's you. You shall love the Lord your God, verse 5, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. We teach our kids how to love God, how to be in relationship with Him, how to connect with Him, how to make much of Him. And we do this, it says, you shall teach them diligently, verse 7, to your children, and shall talk with them when you sit in your house, or when you walk by the way, or when you lie down, and when you rise. If your kids don't honor you, they don't respect your authority, you're not going to have an opportunity to do this. And this is perhaps one of the most important things that you can invest into them, is to pass on the faith that's been imparted to you. So first, we apply it to parents. Second, let's apply it to children. Turn to Ephesians 6, verses 1 and 2. Ephesians 6, 1 and 2. Apply this command to children. And it says, and the Apostle Paul uses the commandment number 5 to speak directly to Children, he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Again, I think Paul writing to a Gentile audience, the church in Ephesus, not to the people of Israel, is writing this command saying there's still a promise to be had in children obeying your parents. And here's it. If you're a child at any level, or if you're a parent who wants to pass this on to your child, that's fine too. Here's the connection between the prosperity that Paul's talking about, this promise that God attaches to this commandment and to obeying your parents. Again, the place where you first learn about life, the place that you first learn about God, the place that you first learn about authority is supposed to be in your home, so that when a child grows up understanding what it means to submit to authority, then they exit the home and they realize in all these scenarios, whether it's at a job or whether it's on a team or whether it's in society and relating to government or to political things. I mean, they understand now how it's supposed to work, how submission to authority, the way God designed, operates. And at the top of that authority structure is God himself. And they recognize that. They understand that. But for kids who don't get that, kids who refuse to obey their parents, don't learn to honor them, then they leave the home. And now they're out in the world, and they are going to learn submission to authority one way or the other. And oftentimes outside the home, the consequences for it are severe. Can lead to getting fired, can lead to getting incarcerated, can lead to death, and it can even lead to being in danger of the very fires of hell, because when we cast off our parents and the God whom they worship, oftentimes we rebel and walk away from the very God who made us and the God who loves us in Christ. So children, take heed. God designed this commandment for your benefit, for your good, because he loves you. And now let's apply this to adult children. Adult children, yes, you are on your own. You provide for yourself, take care of yourself. But this commandment, remember, is still for you. It's for adults. You still have a responsibility to model for your kids and to honor the Lord in honoring even your aging parents. You see, there are two ways that you can honor your aging parents. One, you can certainly respect them. If you're like me, the older I've gotten, the more I realize, man, my parents sacrificed a ton for me. Were they perfect? No. Am I a perfect parent? No. But I can look at where they come from. I can look at where they're going. I can see what they've invested into me. And I realize now, what a sacrifice. And that's enough encouragement. But even just because I want to honor the Lord, that's enough to say, you know what? Let's honor them. Respect them. Talk well of them. Spend time with them. Encourage them. But the scriptures also talk about taking care of our parents as well. And I believe that's probably one of the main reasons that God gave this commandment, because there was no Social Security. There was no welfare. The way that parents got taken care of was their kids, looked after them. To the point where Paul says in 1 Timothy 5:8, but if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for the members of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And Jesus quotes this commandment, and he applies it to the Pharisees and says, you guys break this commandment because you've engineered this way to keep your resources to yourself and not share them with your parents who really need them. They would declare them Corban, dedicated to God. And so therefore, I'm sorry, Mom, Dad, I'd love to help you, but I can't do it. My resources are tied up for God. And God says, you dishonor me in doing that. See, we don't just teach honor to parents to our kids. We model it by how we honor the parents that we still have. Next category to you empty nesters, maybe your kids are gone, and you might think, well, Maybe my kids are gone. Maybe my parents are not with me anymore. How do I apply this commandment? What do I do with this? And who said that just because your kids are 18, because your kids don't live with you anymore, because your kids are married and have their own kids, that you're not a parent any longer? The relationship changes, to be sure, but you can still have a vision for your family. To say, I'm going to spend the rest of my days investing into my kids and my grandkids and my great-grandkids that they might know Christ, that they might honor him, that they might give their lives away for his sake. Man, I'm going to pray my face off for my family because I want them to walk with Jesus and to walk with him faithfully. You can encourage this commandment by investing in them still and teaching them to honor still and to walk with Christ still. And here's the other thing. You're part of a different family, a spiritual family, if you're in Christ, the church. And here's what James tells us in James 1:27. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans. And whether it's an orphan literally, emotionally, physically, I mean, there are young people in our church who don't have parents like they ought. Their parents don't invest in them like they should. And for whatever reason, their parents may be checked out. You're here. You're available. You're wise. You're godly. You can invest in them. You can be a father to the fatherless. That's the beauty of the church. We are the family of God. And he can use us to meet each other's needs, which leads to the last area of application to orphans. Again, an orphan doesn't mean you don't have a mother and father. You might have them and they're checked out. You might have them and they're not believers and they can't invest in you spiritually. Again, if that's you, you're in the perfect place. The church is the family of God. God is our heavenly Father. Jesus is our elder brother. And together we are brothers and sisters in Christ, and we can be for each other what we need. God meets our earthly needs through the church. Jesus tells us in Mark 10:29-30, that those of us who give up everything to follow after Jesus will receive 100-fold in this life. Mothers, brothers, sisters, children. You know what I think he's referring to? The church, the family of God. We have lots of grandparents, lots of parents in the Lord together, and God can use that to meet our need. So hopefully you can see how important this command is to keep. It's so central to the very fabric of our society. To dishonor our parents is to disintegrate society. To honor them is to hold it together. There's just one problem. We don't keep this commandment. We failed. We've broken it countless times. If you're like me, I can't even begin to imagine how much I have dishonored my parents. I don't deserve the blessing. I deserve hell. Oh, but there's one who did keep the commandment perfectly. There is one who does deserve the blessing of the long and prosperous life. There's one who is perfectly obedient to his earthly parents. There's one who obeyed his heavenly Father every step of the way, even to the point of death, even death on a cross. And because of that, now he dies in our place, the death we deserve for the dishonor that we have spewed toward our parents and has messed up our society, has been poured out on Jesus. And his perfect, heroic obedience to the Father covers us so that we don't just get the promise of a long, prosperous life. Here we get the promise of eternal life with God forever. And that's good news. And it gets even better. Get this. Even where you have screwed up with this command, just like me, there is grace. There is healing. There is a Holy Spirit who, through the work of Christ, would come down into your life and would start to change you, give you the power that you need to actually do what God requires of you from the inside out. Dishonoring our parents disintegrates society. Honoring them holds it together. And by the grace of God, may we do that. May we set the tone as a church for our community to the glory of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Your God is faithful to speak to us, to speak into our hearts and into our lives exactly what we need. This is not always easy to hear. And I trust, Lord, that you have challenged many of us to think about how we can keep this command and encourage the keeping of it to the glory and the praise of Jesus Christ. We need your help to do that. We cannot do it on our own. And may we be salt and light in our community, doing what pleases you, living in the freedom that you have instructed us to live in. And by doing that, may we draw the world to come look at our lives and to see Christ and to worship him as he deserves. Trust you to do that, God, in our hearts and lives as we respond to this song. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.